Welcome to another edition of Life in Our Time, a program designed to present you with first-person accounts from people who are shaping our culture today. We are currently exploring a new and expanding religious movement that is emerging in our Mediterranean world. The movement is called Christianity. It originated in Palestine, where an obscure Galilean preacher named Jesus claimed that he was the Christ, the long-anticipated Jewish Messiah. Jesus was executed as a heretic. However, recently a number of people have emerged who claim to be followers of Jesus, and they are sharing their views quite aggressively with all who will listen. The central figure in this movement is a man named Paul. Though once a militant Jew vigorously opposed to this Jesus group, Paul had a dramatic conversion experience of some sort, and he now travels widely promoting Christianity. Normally, we would try to interview this man Paul himself, but he is an elusive figure, and all our recent efforts to contact him for an interview have been unsuccessful. As an alternative, we have arranged a series of interviews with people who have had close personal associations with him. My name is Floyd Bobertson, and I am your host on Life in Our Times, a program produced by the First Century News Network. Our guest today is a man of rising prominence in this new religion. In fact, some observers have suggested that he might become some sort of rival to Paul for leadership in the group. Coincidentally, our guests on the last segment in this series, Aquila and Priscilla, actually mentioned having had contact with Apollos in Ephesus. The questions that we pose to Apollos are, how did you become a part of this new religious group that goes by the name Christian? What do you think makes Christianity so appealing to people? And do you think that you may perhaps replace or succeed Paul as its principal leader? We take you now to Apollos for his responses.
I'm Apollos. I'm a native of Alexandria. Now, people don't always associate Judaism with Alexandria, kind of thinking that most Jews are in Palestine, but you know, there's been a long history of Jews in North Africa. In fact, there was a translation made of the scriptures into Greek for the benefit of those who lived in places like that, and so it's not strange. Don't be surprised that I began, you know, as a Jew in Alexandria. And in fact, you know, I've heard it said that on the occasion of Christ's crucifixion, that the Romans picked someone out of the crowd to carry the cross for him. And the person that they picked, so I've heard, was a man named Simon. And he came from Cyrene. And that's even further away on the North African coast from Jerusalem than Alexandria is. So don't be surprised that there are Jews scattered around in various places outside of Israel. Now, how did I get involved? Well, it started when I was quite young, actually. Long before I ever heard anything about Jesus, I took an interest in the scriptures and what they had to say about the promised Messiah. And yes, there was the message in the prophets, you know, the promise that someone from the line of David would come and would be the promised Messiah that the Lord had said would be supplied for his people. And I studied the scriptures carefully. And I made another, what I think was interesting discovery, and that is, of course, that, you know, the image that goes with David is that of being a king. Well, I also began to think about the fact that in the scriptures, that whole system of tabernacle and sacrifices, that too was fulfilled in the Messiah. And so I was really intrigued by these things and studied them as carefully as I could. And then word came to me that the Messiah had come. And I began to hear from people who said that there was a man in who had, you know, been in Israel, whose name was Jesus, and that he was actually the Messiah. In fact, as I began to put the pieces together of the story, I was hearing from others who happened to come to Alexandria, where I had access to them. They began to tell me some things about the life of this man Jesus, and in fact to talk about his death. And of course, then I realized that it all fit. I mean, some people were saying, well, could the Messiah really have been crucified? Could the Messiah die? And when I realized that this was the way they were thinking, I also realized that the scriptures suggested, of course, that the Messiah would die. I mean, he was the great high priest, fulfilling all that the scriptures had said about a high priest and the offering of sacrifices, and that he was not only the high priest, but that he was the sacrifice. And so his death was not something to be found strange. It really fit. Well, I tried to find as many people as I could who had some contact with this story about Jesus, and the more details that came to me, the more I realized that it all fit together perfectly. And then I started to hear some word that intrigued me in another way. And that is, you know, I thought that this coming of the Messiah was really just a transformation for Judaism. I mean, that Judaism would recognize that the Messiah had come and understand it to be a new chapter in their life and faith history. But I also began to hear, just through word of mouth from people I met, that not only were Jews believing that Jesus was the Messiah, but that this word was also being shared with Gentiles. And I began to realize that something far bigger than just a transformation of Judaism was happening. A whole new faith community was being established. Well, I heard about this, and as I say, in Alexandria, it was sometimes hard to find people who had any information to share. I decided I'd go. There seemed to be a fair concentration of this interest in on the north shore of the Mediterranean Sea, and I decided to go to Ephesus and see what I could learn about this. Maybe I could meet some more people who could tell me more about the things of Jesus' life. I'd heard a lot, but I still wanted to hear more. Well, I got to Ephesus and I went to the synagogue, and I thought that was the place to begin. And I got involved in talking with people and explaining to them how I understood the scriptures to speak of the Messiah. And Oh, there was a mixture of response, but then a fascinating thing happened because a couple that were there took me aside. Very politely, very graciously, but said, you know, Apollos, you don't know the whole story. You're right in what you say, but there's a little bit more you don't seem to know about. And they explained things that I hadn't had a chance to hear before. I mean, I'd heard about some of the things about Jesus and the things that he taught and how his, you know, how he was received by people and how he was denied by people and how he was crucified by people. And I'd also heard, of course, that he rose from the dead. But that's kind of when the story stopped for me and the information that had come to me, and I didn't know much more. And Priscilla and Aquila explained to me that there was another part that I hadn't heard. And that had to do with God's sending of the Holy Spirit as a blessing on his people. So I had to take that and ponder it and try and fit it together with everything else that I thought I understood about the scriptures and what they said about the Messiah. And so I spent some time in Ephesus and really was graciously treated by Priscilla and Aquila and others there. And there were people who heard what I had to say about the Messiah and came to believe in him. And then I decided that I wanted to go. I wanted to go to the province of Achaia. Corinth is the capital, and I asked, sort of, discussed it with the people in Ephesus, and they sent me to Achaia with their blessing. You know, sort of, go and we'll put in a word for you, and so. I did that, and, well, I still felt awkward about the fact that, you know, I had not had the whole story from the beginning. And some people who first heard me only heard part of the story, because I didn't know the end of it. Anyway, you know what I think's going to happen? I've struggled, you see, to try and get this story together. I think that some of those eyewitnesses of the things of Jesus' life, maybe some of his disciples or some of the others who were with him, will write down what they saw and heard. Because if I had had access to something like that, it would have been so helpful. And I think that that will happen. And it will be a blessing to people like me who are searching and a blessing to others, because trying to fit the story together just by what you hear from this person and that person is kind of difficult sometimes to get a clear sense of all the details. And I think that's going to happen. And I think that will really further contribute to the spread of the message of Jesus as the Lord's Messiah. And I'm a little embarrassed because I think, you know, Paul came to Ephesus sometime after I left and discovered that some of the people I'd introduced to the faith had not heard about the Holy Spirit, and Paul had to help them and make them realize there was something further, because I hadn't, the only word I had about baptism had to do with John the Baptist. I'd heard about him. And he called people to repentance to receive the Messiah. And I had done the same, but I hadn't been able to follow it up with a fuller explanation. And I'm glad that Paul was there to give them the end of the story and set them straight. You ask about rivalry with Paul. Paul and I aren't rivals. We're fellow believers. Now, I know it happens. I know. I've heard it said. You know, some people say, well, you know, I heard the good news from Apollos, or I heard the good news from Paul. But Paul and I are not in opposition with one another or in competition with one another in any way at all. We just, you know, when people receive good news from someone, they remember where they heard it. And so some people remember hearing it from me, and I hope they were ones who got the whole story. and lots of people have heard the story from Paul. Anyway, yes, I think this faith is going to last. I think it's going to spread. If you're wondering what's going to happen in the future, just watch. Because every day and every week, more people are hearing about Jesus. And more people are recognizing that he is the Messiah. And a Christian community is growing day by day. I think it's great. I don't know what the world thinks, but I think it's wonderful. May it continue. So those are my answers to the questions you asked me, and I hope that what I've been able to share is helpful in understanding what's going on in the world today.
Thank you, Apollos. You have offered us a very confident testimony concerning the continued growth and spread of Christianity in our day. If you were correct in your perception of its appeal to Gentiles as well as Jews, then what we are seeing now is not merely an internal development in an existing religion, but a whole new religious movement. It will be interesting to see if your expectation is confirmed. You raised another point that had not been previously voiced so far in our series. You anticipate that early eyewitnesses of Jesus Christ will set down in writing an account of what they saw and heard for the benefit of believers, and that this too will contribute to the growth and strengthening of Christianity in the days ahead. We also noted your strong denial that there is any struggle for leadership or influence in this newly organized group of Christians. You affirm that you and Paul are fellow believers and not rivals for power. My name is Floyd Bobertson, and you have been listening to Life in Our Times, a production of the First Century News Network. Our series on Paul and Christianity continues next week. Our guest then will be Aristarchus, a fellow Christian worker with Paul. Listen each week to Life in Our Times.